I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You know, for me, I've never struggled with the idea that God is the life. God is life, He gives us life, He imparts that to us in so many wonderful and curious ways, and yet He still gives us this great gift of life. We are here because by the very existence of God, He brings us to life. That's easy for me, maybe not for others. I am the truth. I never struggle with that either. If God is the life and He has given us all these good things, then He is the truth, and the truth is what it is. It's not that it's your truth or my truth, but it's one truth, and God is truth. And in that truth, we see the greatness of God. The more we study it, through science, through academic studies, through revelation, we come to know that truth better. We come to know that truth with more wholeness. We come to know God in His truth. I am the way. That's the one that's always been a little trickier for me personally. I look at it and I think about this invitation, I am the way. And as I look at this gospel, it isn't by itself. Because as much as Jesus says, I am the way, there's Philip saying, Master, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. You know, just show us the Father, and we'll be on the same page. We'll be all set. We'll be there. And it begs the question, what are you looking for? Where are you going? He just said He's the way. He continually says that He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. And yet the response is, well, just show us the Father and that'll be enough. And it begs the question, what are we looking for? What are we expecting? I think about my trip to Germany. I got to go to Germany for World Youth Day. And World Youth Day is an incredible event. There's so many things. And the Germans are a lot of fun, let me tell you. However, they're not very good when things don't go according to plan. They kind of freak out. They really do, as a national people. And they admitted to this. They actually wrote it in their local papers. I had someone translate it to me. I said, hey, look what it says in the local paper. It says, we Germans are terrible when it goes not according to plan. The final mass for World Youth Day with the Pope was out in a farm field. And they built the dais on which the altar would be. And they built everything. And they set it all up. They planned it 2 years out in advance, and the fields were allowed to be fallow for those years so that they would be sturdy enough for us to walk on them. We weren't crushing any crop life. It was just grass. And there were over 3 million people at the final mass of World Youth Day that year. And to get 3 million people out into a farm field in the middle of nowhere is no small task. It took literally a day and a half to get them all to show up. And we spent the night there, and it was incredible. But after Mass ended, and we got the final blessing, World Youth Day ended. And we're still over 3 million people standing out in the middle of a farm field. And we all have to get home now. And it begs the question, where are we going? And they said, well, they set up a trolley line on an old rail line that used to be in service, and they've reactivated for service just for this event. I said, great, how many people fit in a trolley at a time? Oh, about 1,000. Awesome. 1,000 people, maybe, if you push them all in and they have no stuff. By the way, we all have our stuff, so that number's probably closer to about 500 people. And how long does it take to get to town? It's about a 20-minute ride. Great, so there's a 40-minute cycle, 500 people at a time for 3.5 million people. If you do the math, it might take a while, a little bit. So they said, there's another way. Just start walking. And the buses will meet you there. Which to me kind of sounded like a promise that was never going to happen in an infinite net ether that didn't exist. They said, just head out this way and they'll show you the way. Okay. And so we headed out. Literally millions of us. And we walked on this journey. And at a certain point, I found myself standing with turnips on my right and cabbages on my left. And I don't know if you've ever stood in a turnip field in the middle of August, but they smell terrible. They do, they smell awful. And I remember looking out and I couldn't see a house or a landmark or a nothing. I saw a line of continuous people in front of me. I saw a line of continuous people behind me. And I thought, I'm going to die in a turnip field in the middle of Germany. And it's going to be all over national news as a tragedy, but they're still not going to change the fact that some million pilgrims are going to die along the way. It took us 15 kilometers. We walked for 15 kilometers. It took all day. I was so glad that I carried granola bars that taste terrible, because I didn't want to eat them right up until the point where I had absolutely nothing left, except that I thought I was going to die on the way, and there's granola bars, so that was exciting. But I thought about this passage. I did. Because it says, I am the way. It necessitates us to respond to God in a particular way. It necessitates that how we interact, that how we engage God, that how we live our lives as people of God necessitates a particular way. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have to be exact copies of each other. I'm not saying that. Rest assured, I'm not saying that at all, because if that were true, then there's no way that we could have religious women and religious men and priests and married people, because those are not the same paths. They're similarities, but they're not the same. But this way demands something of us. It demands a particularness that we respond to God. And it does beg the question, what are we looking for? There's that moment in Germany where I just wanted to see a landmark. Didn't we? We passed by farmhouses and things, and it was very exciting in the sense that I had no idea where we were going. I was lost in the middle of Germany in the countryside. I had no idea where we were going. But we had this challenge to follow. And Jesus gives us this invitation. He says, I am the way. Philip, what are you looking for? Because I am the way. Today in Rockford at the cathedral, we had a transitional diaconate ordination. I am excited to say that we have two new deacons in our diocese. Now, the transitional deacons, which means next year they'll be priests. And it's very exciting to see it happen. Because we get this same reminder that God invites us on a particular way, in a particular direction, to come to something individual. And that's a relationship with God. It's that relationship with God that we each and every one of us is called to do. It's that particular relationship with God that each and every one of us, regardless of how else he calls us, regardless of the other things that he asks of us along the way, regardless of everything else that we do, he's longing and striving and inviting and challenging us to grow in a particular relationship with him. Now those two young men, they found that particular relationship in a calling to priesthood, and they responded as such. But every last one of us is called to respond to God in that invitation, to grow in that love that he wants to offer us by following the way. And I think about this as I read Peter. Because what does he say? You know, Peter expresses to us, he says, we build the spiritual house to the holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice. Why? Because we are, you and I, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. All of us. Not just me. All of us are a royal priesthood. That is such an incredibly exciting thought. Because when we follow in that way, we discover what it is to be a royal priesthood. Because that challenges us in several ways. The first of all is to remind us that as priests, it is our responsibility to offer sacrifice to God. That's not just my responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities. We all are offering sacrifice to God. We're all challenged to offer our sacrifices to God. They might look a little different from person to person, but they are that challenge, that sacrifice. And ultimately, I think about a royal priesthood. You know, there's that temptation to say, hey, a royal priesthood. We all get to be royalty. That's kind of exciting. And it's true. It is exciting. But the first kings, they aren't the ones who get to do whatever they want. That's a tyrant. We live in a royalty in the truest sense. And royalty is appointed at the service of others. We're not just called to be priests. We're not just called to offer sacrifice. We're not just making these spiritual houses for God. But we do so working for others, working for the other people in our community, working to improve the lives of those around us. It's those two principles, building our relationship with God and building our relationship with our neighbor. And in doing so, we live into what Peter's challenging us to, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, by following the way, the truth, and the life.